In the name of God, Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. This past summer, Jenny and I took a vacation down to the northwest corner of Georgia to visit her family. We were meeting her family down there at a lake house in the mountains. Spending my whole life up until now on the East Coast, one thing I do miss is the ancient beauty of the Appalachian mountain range. We discovered that we were right next to the south section of the Appalachian Trail, so we decided to go hiking one day. It turned out to be a coolish day, walking beneath the canopy of tree cover in the hot Georgia summertime. The hike, overall, was pretty unremarkable. And when we finally got to the end of the path, it was this place where a little mountain stream cascaded down over the rocks it had worn smooth and created a small pool, not quite big enough to be a swimming hole at the bottom. It was pretty, but nothing you couldn't see in any of 100 or more different hikes along the AT. What I remember, though, was the way the light shone right onto the little pool. It was notable because throughout the whole hike, we had been shaded by an almost complete canopy of old eastern trees, maples and oaks, beeches and birches, each sucking up all the life-giving sunlight they could with their leaves. It had been nice for us, but had left very little underbrush or space for new saplings because there was no light to feed new growth. But in this one spot, over the pool, where no tree grew, we could see the bright sky and the light shone in on the water. On the rocky face, on the right side of the pool, about 15 feet up, there was this tree that must have come from a seed that found a little patch of soil on the face of the cliff. Initially, its roots had grown upwards, searching for more dirt on top of the little overhang, and its trunk had begun to grow downwards, so that it started out upside down. I don't know if it could just feel the warmth of the sun shining through in that one spot over the pool, but that little tree, it found that sunlight in the surrounding areas, and after initially growing down, it grew out over the pool and then straight up towards the light. I remember it so clearly because in my mind it made this perfect little J in the way that it grew. And as it grew out like that, it became unstable. So it had grown these long, strong roots around the rock that created its anchor, which allowed its branches to stretch out for the light. To be healthy, a tree needs both the soil at its roots and the light at its limbs. Otherwise, it starves. And this tree had managed, even under difficult circumstances, to find that life. I was reminded of that hiking scene as I read these passages for the first week of Advent. In both the reading from the prophet Jeremiah and the gospel, we get tree metaphors to explain what the season is about. In the prophetic text, the Lord is reminding them of the basis of their faith, even though the world around them seems dark. God is telling them to hold to the promise that He will send a Savior from the line of David, the promise upon which their very identity as a people and hope for the future is based. It seemed doubtful at best. The kingdom had fallen, the people were in exile. The tree of the line of David seemed to be cut off entirely. But God told them to have faith. There was still hope, and a branch would spring forth in the most improbable of ways. Sink your roots in and hold on to what you know to be solid ground, he's saying. The promise of God. For the ancient Israelites, for us, for that little tree in the forest over the pond. So many things seem to be blocking out and sucking up the light. In the holiday season, in this season of the world, it can seem that there is not enough money, not enough time, not enough energy, not enough hope or joy or love to sustain life, much less prepare for the coming of the Christ in our hearts. The lesson, the admonition of Advent is to hold fast and don't let go of what you have always known to be true. God is with you. God is faithful. God has promised not to abandon or forsake us, and He can bring light into those dark areas of our lives, of our world, where we thought it could not shine again. So deepen your roots and hold fast and wait for the Christ to show up. But that isn't it. Don't just hunker down. That's a bad plan in the darkness of winter, in the struggles of life, in pretty much any circumstance. That's just survival. But if you want to actually live, if your goal is thriving, and that is God's goal for us, you also have to reach for the light. We're reminded in our collect today that it is not enough to just hold on to the darkness, hold on against the darkness. We are called to cast off the darkness and put on the light. Advent isn't just waiting passively. It is active preparation. It's about making our hearts a place where the Christ child could be born anew. Places of warmth and peace, of kindness and joy, of compassion and love. In Jesus' parable, He is saying, "You know the signs of life. Look at the trees. All creation knows. When you see your chance for life, stand up and raise your head. Reach for the light, because your redemption is near." That's what we need in this winter season, to work for life, to flood our hearts with light and make them alive and ready for Christ to come. That's why we dedicate ourselves to proclaiming hope when we take small steps to feed the hungry or clothe the poor or give gifts to children in need. Because we need ours to be a world where the light of hope shines through. We foster joy in our hearts by singing out carols, making cookies with children, decorating trees, or celebrating at holiday parties. These things are not frivolous. They foster joy, and the sound of joy must be part of the preparation for the life of Christ in us. And we hold tight to our family and friends and show love by caring for those who suffer or are lonely in this season, because we need the message to be true that God came into the world to assure us by His great love that we are never alone. The warmth of love brings the light of life. These are the things that feed our souls and bring us from survival to actual thriving. And not coincidentally, they are also the things that prepare room in our souls for Christ to come again. The tree I saw on my hike held firm to what it knew was sure, that solid rock around which its roots were anchored, because that was continued existence. But it also gave all it had to reach for the light, because that was growth. It took both to have real life. That's what Advent is about. The season gets dark, literally. Days shorten and the sun is swallowed up. And so is our time by so many obligations and activities. But we shore up our base. We stay grounded by spending extra time with family, carving out moments to focus on our Advent devotions to keep ourselves spiritually on track, remembering what is important. But those things alone will not prepare our hearts for the great event that is coming in the Christ. For that, we must reach for the light. That's why we do things like spread hope, sing out with joy, spend time doing what brings us peace. As you go about your Advent, preparing for Christmas, both practically and spiritually, may you remember to do both, to hold firmly to your base, sink into your faith, even deepen your roots, but at every chance you get, also reach for the light, grasp for joy, and in that practice, may you find the abundant life of Christ come anew. Amen.